Hare Krishna. I have some questions from Amritananda Dasi. When I gave a talk at the college in Budapest on the Dham Tattva, and it seems like there were still unanswered questions, and so she's asking me to answer those questions now that remain. She says, if deities are made according to a strict description, why do some Krishna deities have different color than dark blue, for example, when they're made of white marble? I would even add to that question that not only are the colors of deities different, but often you'll see the proportions of deities different. For instance, the proportion of the head to the rest of the body, the proportions of the limbs themselves. So, answer, yes, there's Shilpa Shastra that describes the very detailed proportions of the limbs based on what actually the Supreme Lord looks like. And this detail is there to give faith to people that actually this deity looks just like the Lord. And this is generally for those people who are of less faith. But for those people who have faith, who already have faith in Krishna, then whether Krishna appears in black form, in a white form, does it ever disturb anyone's mind that the deities of the Lord are white? Not to those who are of faith. It never even crosses their mind. To them, it's Krishna. And if they're advanced devotees, they'll also see the black Krishna in the white deity form. So, premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena, it's always devotion that's the overriding factor. Moreover, we also see that we as people, we don't look the same. Although we have the same body and the same form, but our external appearance changes markedly. When we're angry, we may be blue. When we're scared, we may be white. When we're running, we're flushed and we're red. And we may pale when we see a ghost. Sometimes we appear thick. Sometimes people say, boy, you look like you put on weight. And sometimes they say, boy, you look very skinny. There are so many differences in our own appearances as people, as individuals. So why would we expect that Krishna is a mirror image of himself everywhere in the world? He just reciprocates with devotion. And because Krishna's main interest is to please his devotee, Paritanaya Sadhanam. So he doesn't give that much consideration to the exact dimensions that are there in scripture. If the carver who is making the deities has devotion, and particularly if the devotee wants to worship the Lord and sees the Lord in that form has devotion, then Krishna appears to in whatever way that deity is perfect or accurate, and he manifests himself and reciprocates with his devotees. Okay, second question. What is meant that Krishna is not present in a yogi's heart, but he's present when devotees are chanting his glory? Well, one is that yogis are meditating, first of all, on Paramatma and Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, is not generally the goal of meditation. So Krishna, therefore, is not present in their heart. Krishna is only present in the hearts of his pure devotees. And as far as devotion is concerned, the devotees, the yogis don't have the devotion of Krishna's pure devotees. The yogis are looking for understanding the cause of all causes. They're looking to acquire mystic powers. They're looking to, they're aiming to look, but not to serve. Krishna may reciprocate with them in the form of Paramatma, but he, as the person who's always looking for the devotion and to be loved, he's there where those who are chanting his name with love and devotion, because that's what really, really attracts Krishna, Krishna himself. If Krishna is a small child in the spiritual world, is there no Damodar Leela in the spiritual world? Krishna doesn't necessarily manifest his pastime of birth, his Janmasthan, which takes place in the material world. But Krishna manifests so many of his other pastimes, and they're going on. And not necessarily they're going on in a linear fashion. We tend to think of the spiritual world as one place where some pastimes are repeatedly going on. But Prabodhananda Saraswati points out that even Radha Krishna's Leela are simultaneously going on in different ways, according to different ages, according to different pastimes. So our concept of the spiritual world can be broadened when we're thinking that, yes, Krishna is simultaneously in his Kishore Leela, simultaneously in his boyhood Leela, simultaneous in his childhood Leela. He can be manifesting his Damodar Leela as well. It's all based on what his devotees in love with him want to see, and he reciprocates with devotees according to their individual desires. Why is the banyan tree considered a holy tree in India? There may be a Puranic story of which I'm not aware of. However, the banyan tree is certainly holy because it relates to so many holy things. The banyan tree relates to Krishna. Krishna on the waters of devastation is seated on the banyan tree. Lord Shiva, banyan leaf, excuse me. Lord Shiva is often seen meditating beneath a banyan tree. In fact, banyan trees are also called kalpavriksha. Desire trees are actually identifiable with the banyan leaves, the trees themselves. So because of its association with so many sacred and holy things, so the banyan tree itself is also considered to be sacred and holy. And if there is some other leela that I don't know about, then perhaps someone can inform us of that. Why shouldn't ladies offer full dandavats during parikrama? Now that's a good question, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to give you the answer. Generally, ladies are invited not to offer full dandavats when they're offering their obeisances. Number one, because their skirts may slip up, and number two, because all parts of their body, all eight parts of their body, are best not to touch the ground. And therefore, they five limbs of their body touch the ground, panchanga, instead of the ashtanga, and therefore they kneel and bow with their heads. However, Dandavat Parikrama, Radhakund, Govardhan, Vrindavan, I've seen for so many years, I've seen women doing Dandavat Parikramas, and I've never seen a woman doing parikrama, bowing down parikrama any other way, not panchanga parikrama. It's always ashtanga parikrama. And I've taken it that there's a special concession for doing that. And then, obviously, of course, Indian ladies are always very careful to keep themselves well covered, or at least village Indian ladies, not city Indian ladies anymore. And right now, my answer would be that if you're doing Dandavat Parikrama, it's all right. If you're just paying obeisances, then you do Panchanga obeisances. Next question. Is there a hierarchy amongst holy places, and if there is, on what basis? There's a hierarchy on the basis of the intimacy of the pastimes that Krishna reveals. Rupa Goswami gives a general hierarchy in not in general, it's quite specific. Vaikunthanach, Janita, Madhupuri, Rasotsavat, Vrindavan, Adurapanani, Ramana, Govardhana Radha Kundam Ihapi Gokulapati Pramamrita Plavanat. So he lists Vaikuntha, Mathura, Vrindavan Forest, Govardhan Hill, and Radha Kund, and he gives this as a hierarchy. And it's hierarchy on the basis of the intimacy and the hierarchy of the pastimes that are being performed. Better than Vaikuntha's Mathura because Krishna appeared there, better than Mathura's because the rasa dance took place in Vrindavan Forest. But more intimate than that, he says, is Govardhan Hill, because Krishna picked up Govardhan Hill with his hand and held it aloft with his hand, so it's directly touched Krishna's hand. And more intimate than that is Radha Kund, because of the intimate nature of Radha Krishna's pastimes that take place there. This is one hierarchy, and there are even more detailed ones that we can picture on the basis of the pastimes. Elsewhere, yes, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions that, for instance, in Vrindavan, there are, although all of Vrindavan is transcendental, there are places where Krishna hardly goes. And they're considered to be less sacred than places where Krishna does go, whatever the nature of the pastime. Why? Because Krishna's footprints are there, his pastimes are there, whereas in this place it isn't. So, perfect, more perfect, most perfect, and so many variations in between. Everything is wonderful in the Dham, but the nature of Krishna's presence gives variety, and we should always see that that variety is there. And the last question is, how can we understand that Vrindavan and Mayapur are non-different? Many instructions are given. Look at Navadvip Dhammahatmya, but here's a very short way to understand it. In the same way that Lord Chaitanya and Krishna are non-different from each other, and in the way that Krishna is not different than Vrindavan, and Mayapur is non-different than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, these places being a manifestation of their Swarup Shakti. Therefore, by the principle of logic, the things that are equal to the same thing are equal to each other. Therefore, Mayapur is equal to Vrindavan. Hare Krishna.